Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you came.
Hallelujah, saints. We just glorify God. We lift
Him
up.
I was worth saving.
All His mercy, all His blessings, all His grace. My God, we thank Him for His love. This is word from the Word. I just rejoice in the Lord, and I am exceedingly glad that He loves me. Praise the Lord. And He thought I was worth dying. And so He saved me, and He raised me up from my destination of hell and secured my place in heaven. And so I thank that I love you. I pray that today's lesson will bring a new insight into our hearts and into our life of the kind of love that would die for you and die for me in our unworthy, our wretched state, that someone so holy and high and righteous would give his life because of the love that he has for us. And as Andrew Murray attempts to share this part of our abiding in Christ, in his love, and he attempts to bring life to the kind of love that God has for us, and it's almost impossible for words to bring that kind of love to life. But Christ did it in what he did. And he showed us that love is not words, but love is action. Love is living, love is giving, and all of the things in Corinthians, if somebody could get that out of one of the versions, that the 13th chapter, I think, of 1 Corinthians, the love factor. And we read it every, you know, event that's focusing on love, every lesson. We read it, but God, do we understand that love in his love? I love it when the author says it's not an attribute of Christ. It's of God. It's his very being and how everything else radiates from that love, the grace and the mercy and the honor and the glory comes as a product of that kind of eternal love. It's a love that is such a passion, and man has a passion for things and an appetite for things and a desire for things. But God's appetite, his divine passion is for us. And I love it when the author shares with us the fact that Christ loved us so much that he was willing to give up his spirit, his glory, even his throne, all for us. His crown, his place of honor, he gave it all up because of the love that he has for us. What a love, what a love, what a divine love. And we see the crucifixion every Easter, and we say, no love, you know, that man has had, but that he would lay down his life for his friend. And we say it, and we mean it. But we, in the depths of our spirit, we need to connect to that kind of eternal love, because those words and those songs, even this song, "He Thought I Was Worth Dying For," goes into a area where words do not define. Words cannot express. Words cannot illustrate the kind of love that we have from him. If we had a minuscule amount of that kind of love from a human on earth, we would act in such a way that you would think we own the world. And yet we accept that, and it's glorious. And when we get it, it's a blessing. And true love comes from God. And yet the way we react to that love and the way we react to this love that's so eternal and so high and holy and so perfect and so beyond description doesn't compare, unfortunately, for the kind of commitment and surrender and sacrifice and even honor that we want to give one that loves us the way God in Christ loves us. We read in the lesson today of different elements involved in our understanding of this. And in all of the examples he gives, all of the ways he tries to communicate it to us, and even in that, he can only but fall short. For that kind of love, we can only even experience small portions of it, because it would just be so overwhelming. We would be so mesmerized by it. We wouldn't be able to do anything but worship, which is what we are called to do, what we are created to do, and what we shall do when that love brings us home. So good morning. Good morning on a Friday fellowship. Of
good morning, Overseer.
Yes.
Yes, I have that in the Amplified, but well, let me read that first before I make a comment, but yes, so if you'd like me to read that. One second.
Well, you can make the comment first. We can do that anytime.
Well, you know, when you were talking about it, I was just going to say that as I was reading this, that I found it to be almost, it was overwhelming to just continue to just read and read and read about his love, which
yeah.
I just thought was, it just kind of struck me funny, because we talk about his love all the time, and obviously being, you know, clerics and just the people of God, we hear that, and I think we hear it to the point, I don't want to say of weariness, but to the point that we become numb to what that really means. So to read it, and to read it in a way where it was expressed with such clarity, the way he began to talk about, you know, the perfect love and the eternal love and the unchangeable love being not only
yeah.
the motive but the measure, I just
yeah.
thought it was, you know,
yeah.
it was really, oh, I really just put it down and it was like, okay, that's enough of the love.
Yeah.
I mean, I really just felt like it was that I either needed
yeah.
to just
yeah.
go in or either just stop reading and just
yeah.
come back, because
hallelujah.
The
yeah.
weight of it, which
yeah.
is, which is a good thing, but it was very
absolutely.
Emotion, you know, I mean, emotionally, and it wasn't like
yes,
emotionally, like crying and,
yeah.
you know, I mean, that, it wasn't that kind of emotion. It was just the heaviness, the weight of my intellect being stirred up on how immense and how deep and broad God's love is for us, you know, and to be, it was almost like being pummeled word after word after word. There was one, one. If I may, there was one little passage here where it talks
absolutely.
About what we're talking about. It is a perfect love. It gives all and holds nothing back. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And just so Jesus loves, and just so Jesus loves his own, all he has is theirs. When it was needed, he sacrificed his throne and crown for you. He did not count his own life and blood too dear to give for you. His righteousness, his spirit, his glory, even his throne are all yours, which means they're all mine, all ours. This love holds nothing back, but in a manner which no human can fathom, makes you one with itself. Oh, wondrous love, to love us even as the Father loved him, and no offer, and to offer us this love as our everyday dwelling. And that whole piece, offer us this love as our everyday dwelling. And I know that, you know, in my position in Christ, it's my everyday dwelling. But just to even just be kind of knock the side of the head that, you know, you can be in this place all the time. He has made it so that, you know, we don't appropriate the things that we have, you know, that we don't take, really kind of like take advantage, because, you know, our standing and our state, you know, we're seated in heavenly places. The blood has already, you know, redeemed us. We have all that is his, you know, and the fact that Murray says that he gives up, you know, his crown and his throne, you know, and would again if we were the only ones, as he goes on with that. But I just thought, like I said, I just thought that it was an awesome read and a very heavy read. I probably need to really read it again because I stopped so many times. I didn't really read it as a continual flow this time, but it is, you know, it's pretty awesome, and it's just awesome on how God used this author to me to just make it so clear and so succinct. You know, I mean, it's like stuff we know, but, you know, like I said, just to have word after word after word, you know, just talking about it. So I'm going to read this 1 Corinthians and shut up. This is 1 Corinthians 13. This is the Amplified Version. They do the heading of the excellence of love. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others going out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful, and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails, it never fades nor ends, but as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesize in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But that which is complete and perfect, but when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others, going out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. The word of God is blessed.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, if we can abide in him, we will abide in that place where all of those attributes, all of those fruits will just flow from our life. And there's such a calm. I thought about the medical process of, they say, when you exercise and things, that these endorphins flow, and it gives you this feeling of well-being and happiness. And I realized the endorphins flow because God created the endorphins. And he created them to respond to him. And that as we respond to him in the in his word and exercise that word in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions, those true physical, literal chemicals are going to flow through us, and we would have such a peace. And I believe that's the peace he brings, the peace he promises. And we can even look to see there is even a medical, natural explanation and expectation. And the world has so given us counterfeits, and yet I'm getting messages. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to read them and talk too. Let's see what that says. Amen. And so I realized how so perfectly and how marvelously God has provided the whole world. Yes, and everything in it to deliver the understanding of this love that he has for us, to get us to that place where, you know, I the baby I play with, and he cries sometimes, and I keep saying, where's your happy? You know, we got to find your happy. And we have to find our happy, our hope. And that's one of the things, you know, blessed is, you know, him that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mean, it literally will bring us such a peace and such a joy that does surpass, is unspeakable. There's no words to define it. And I love it because the author, he never I won't say gave up, but he kept illustration after illustration and words after words, all that he could find, all that he could use, he, you know, to convey and communicate to us this in his love. And so there are so many little terms or phrases that he comes up with. Let's see this one. It was indeed not with the love of earth and of time, but with the love of eternity. Yes.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I try to go one step beyond a mother's love. If you can picture the instinct of mother's love, just beyond a mother's love kind of gives me, I got a better understanding.
Yeah.
Mother's love.
Yes.
That instinct she has, yes. It's one step beyond that. And you can kind of picture it.
Right.
They do no wrong. He's just you have to picture something. It's just a little beyond what you picture. That motherly love. Just a little bit beyond, you know. Because you'll come out to put your baby's heart.
Amen. Evangelist, and as she said, beyond that mother's love, and for those who've ever had a baby, and there's a you that existed, even in pregnancy and all of that, but once that infant comes out, there's, I won't say magic, but there is a marvelously spiritual thing that happens. And you're bound, and I know it doesn't happen with everybody, but that process kind of binds you to that soul that once wasn't and now is forever. And forever, you're bound to that soul. I love the way God made it where it's the navel, it's connected. He didn't have to connect us like that, but just having that one thing as a reminder that we were bound to someone, And that binding brought us life. And so it is with Christ. It's just such a powerful, eternal, I won't call it an element, reality, that's what it is, an eternal, powerful, spiritual reality. That's what it is. That is not a love of earth and time. It is not a love that's bound by earth nor bound by time, but with a love that is eternal. And just like that, as the evangelist mentioned, is a step beyond that which a mother feels. It's not even that you feel it, it's created. God creates it within us, which probably makes it so difficult for us to let go. But the letting go even is a part of that love. It's that love that goes beyond the mother, because it's that love that goes beyond our need and looks at the need of the child. That was the love that God had for us. It went beyond, you know, those things that we were doing, and it looked to those things that needed to happen, that was his desire for us. And it says, and just so Jesus loved his own, as the Father has loved him, a perfect love. And as the elder had shared with us, you know, this perfect love, it says, our wretchedness only serves to call out more distinctly the beauty of this love, such as could not be seen even in heaven. With the tenderest compassion, he bows to our weakness with patience inconceivable. He bears with our slowness, with gentle loving kindness. He meets our fears, our folly. It is the love of the Father to the Son, beautified and glorified in its condescension, in its exquisite adoption to our need. Exquisite adoption to our need. Just such a powerful word today. Powerful, powerful word today that brings us to where the author ends with the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, here I am. From now on, your love will be the only home of my soul. Your love alone, in your love alone will I abide. And this is that measure and that meaning and the motives and the means for our remaining in our position in the body. How do you do it? How do you do it? And, you know, can you trust it being done? And all of the questions that were examined throughout the book. And it brings us to this, the motive, the measure, and the means of our surrendering to the process of the vine imparting into the branch his life and his love that will bring forth fruit. That will bring forth fruit. That will bless those in whom we come in contact. So others are on the line and we're sharing. Sharing.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning.
This is Elder Berg.
Yes, ma'am?
I was sort of like Elder Deborah when I was reading it, and my mind went back to another reading that I was doing last week, and I was going to share it.
Amen.
But if I could read this passage first from this week, on page 177, where it says, and now does not this love suggest the motive and measure and the means of that surrender by which we yield ourselves wholly to abide in him? This love surely supplies a motive. Only look and see how this love stands and pleads and prays. Gaze, oh gaze on the divine form, the eternal glory, the heavenly beauty, the tenderly pleading gentleness of crucified love as it stretches out its pierced hands and says, oh, will you not abide with me? Will you not come and abide in me? It points you up to the eternity of love from where it came to seek you. It points you to the cross and all it has borne to prove the reality of its affection and to win you for itself. It reminds you of all it has promised to do for you if you will but throw yourself unreservedly into its arms. It asks you whether, so far as you have come to dwell with it and taste its blessedness, it has not done well by you. So I was, when I read that, sometimes I was thinking, you know, sometimes how there's a, what word I want to use? A pinch, I'll use a pinch, of disbelief, or if I can use that word, just a pinch of, you know, really believing. So my mind went back to the article, and it said, it says, let us also realize that only Jesus can be Jesus. As we yield to him in increasing degrees of surrender, as we abide in him and his word abides in us, he brings forth life that is not simply like his own, but is his very life. Christ himself living within us fulfills God's eternal purpose, which is to make man in his image. It is the presence of the Lord Jesus coming forth in us that makes the weapons of our warfare mighty, empowering our words with authority as we pull down strongholds. Therefore, you must learn to look objectively at any thought or attitude that fail to conform to the likeness and teachings of Jesus. Those thoughts must be captured and wrong attitudes crucified. We must make way in us for the coming of the Lord. We must allow the increase of his presence to be so absorbed into our spirits that we not only believe in him, we believe like him. His love, thoughts, and desires flow out from within us as naturally as fruit from a vine. Consequently, when we seek to identify and destroy demonic strongholds, the second fortress that must be annihilated is the stronghold of unbelief. It is this scheme of thinking which tells us attaining Christ-likeness is impossible, that holds all further spiritual growth hostage. This lie and the chains it places upon our hearts must be broken from our lives. But Christ-likeness is not only possible, it is our destiny. And that really stood out to me, you know, because sometimes, to speak for myself, sometimes like when you pray for something, and that's, I think, one of my areas that I'm always battling with, and I have to come to grips with, and even though I know what the word says about, you know, our ways are not God's ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and so forth and on. Sometimes, you know, that little pinch of unbelief steps in and says, see, you know, you've been praying and this and that, and look what happened, you know. And then when you read like this and you're saying, you know, can you really get to that place where let that same man which is in Christ Jesus be also in you, you know, can your mind really get to that place? Just, you know, so many things sometimes just come into your realm of thinking, you know. And when you read something like this week, it just overwhelmed me, like Elder Devil was saying, you know, and it tells me, you know, you can, in the article that I just read to you can reach that. It's a surrendering of your mind to him. You know, you can obtain and in surrendering your mind totally to him, then you can take these thoughts captive and tear down that stronghold that you know, wants to hold you captive. So that's my thought for today.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Powerful reading. Absolutely. Anybody else? Just so much he is bringing into our focus today about him and the desire he has for us.
Overseer?
Anybody else? Yes.
Can I just add, as Elder Roberta was speaking, a couple things just kind of came up in my spirit. Number one was that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I think today, I mean, for me today, the hearing just of her reading, the reading of the scripture just stirred up and kind of ignited those things that have already been deposited. And to me, it just reminded me that it is so crucial, number one, that we read. And I think it helps when we read aloud so that we hear it. We're saying it and we're hearing it, that it's a different process sometimes that when we read and we, you know, and we read silently. So that was one thing. And the other thing was, also as you were speaking, Elder, was that when you were talking about the struggle sometimes we can have, that it took me back to the places where Christ shed his blood, and he shed his blood, the 72 thorns, the crown, you know, that we might be able to have victory in our thought life, and, you know, that we have the mind of Christ, and that, you know, sometimes we have to just, like you said, we have to encourage ourselves. But as we do that, our faith grows. And, you know, and that kind of just took me back into connecting the dots with yesterday with the mustard seed as one of the parables that, you know, he tells us if we just have mustard seed faith, and even though the mustard seed is not the smallest seed that they have found in the world at this point, that was certainly in the point of reference for those believers, the smallest seed they had ever seen. And the point was that it creates such a huge plant relative to the size of the seed. So when we have just that mustard seed faith, as we encourage ourselves, as we read the word, as we hear the word, that our faith will grow and we will have those the victory, you know, of taking that territory, you know, in our consciousness, in our consciousness stream of who we are. And when something comes, as you had said, as a counterfeit, that immediately, you know, it'll register in our spirit that is not, you know, that is not a loving act. That is not of God. That is not in line with his, you know, with his word. So it just seems like all of this, the abide in Christ, the consecration, for those who are doing the consecration, the whole of aligning, you know, in the assemblage that's coming up, you know, on next week for the conference, how everything just falls into place, you know, that we need to abide, you know, the words of Bishop last night, just, you know, that we need to engage. So, you know, we need to understand that we are part of a community, that we are being steeped and immersed in this word and in this teaching and in this learning community as a faith community, so we can be strengthened, that we can come and engage with other believers and take the territory, take the land, and do things for the kingdom, you know, locally but globally as well. So it is exciting. I'm excited.
Yes, Elder Deborah, I was reading, I can't find it now, but it came to my thought on yesterday too, about the mustard seed and how it is tiny, but when planted it grows up, and it's such a I think it said it was one of the strongest, when it grows up, it's one of the strongest that there is. I can't remember the exact words. It produces such a strong tree or plant, but I can't remember the exact words. And so as you were saying, the faith of the side of a mustard seed, it came to me saying that's how, you know, your faith can be when you're truly, when you truly abide in him and allow him, Holy Spirit, to, you know, nurture you constantly, like you said, staying in reading, constantly reading the word, and, you know, even sometimes reading it out loud where you can hear it, not necessarily reading it in it, you hear it in your mind, but reading it out loud where you can hear it with your ears.
Amen.
Grow, you know. Let the mustard seed grow, to grow with the understanding. As you understand the word, you grow in it, mature in it, develop. And sometimes you can even master yourself out loud. You know, like you're figuring out a problem and hear your own answer to it as you figure it out and understand it. And you grow.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more we expose ourselves, as elders were sharing, the elders were sharing, to words from the word, I think it's such a blessing. Writers and authors and poets and musicians, have so penned it under the anointing that often helps us to visualize and to experience and guide us to these depths of truth and realizations that will enhance our spiritual growth and development. And to, as in the Old Testament, you know, the Lord told them, write on your doorpost, write them on the lid, your eyelids, on your hands, right? Have it everywhere before you, the word of God and what God has done. And because that is the environment that we were created to dwell in. And anything else, any other influences, corrupt and pollute, distort, and even compromise the truth that heaven wants to download in us. And so it's so important that as we continue in fellowship, which he says, you know, fail not to assemble yourself together. The first church, every day they were together. Their time was spent in the word of God. For hours and hours and hours. And we often, you know, we want it to be a set time and that's enough, let's go, time to go, you know, only to expose ourselves to things that are not eternal and are not edifying and they don't build us up spiritually. Not that they're negative things, they're just, what did Solomon say, the vanity, you know, it's nothing. It has no eternal purpose. It has no power. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say another passage in our reading was with the tenderest compassion, he bows to our weakness with patience inconceivable. He bears with our slowness. With the gentlest loving kindness, he meets our fears and our follies. It is the love of a father to the son, beautified and glorified in its condescension, in its exquisite adaptation to our need. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, like Elder Deborah was saying, you know, as you read it, you know, it just really pierces your heart and your soul. And I was thinking how the Lord, you know, inspired the writer of this book, and even how I was just imagining, even when he was penning it, you know, his emotions and everything.
Oh, how he loves us. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. And we worship him. We worship him. We take this time and we give it to him. He is worthy of our worship and our praise. Lord, giving him glory and honor, acknowledging him. And so we stop and we do that. We continue and we do that. We worship him. We worship him. We allow his love to just bathe us in its healing virtues, and in its powerful virtues, and we're not different. We are prized by him. We are his prize. We are his prize. And he loves us with an eternal love. We are.
Amen.
Amen.
You thought I was a devil.
Hallelujah, saints. And on that, I will say, have a blessed, blessed day. Continue to worship the one who loves us eternally. Goodbye.
Amen.
God
bless.
Amen.
God bless. Amen.
God bless. Hallelujah. Mm.